As I begin this message today, I want to just remind us of who Jesus says he is in Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. For our anniversary, Cheryl and my wife Cheryl and I hiked in the Pacific Coast and in the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area in Oregon last week. The weather forecast included, get this, a bomb cyclone for the West Coast. Now, I was ready to spend the anniversary in the hotel room, but by God's grace, he provided a little break in the weather for 2 days in the rain and the snow, and we began to find a little time to take some great hikes in the temporal rainforests. So one of the trails that we took is called Eagle Creek Canyon up to Punch Bowl Falls. You know, one of the appeals of the Pacific Northwest is the old growth forests of cedars and redwoods. And when I get up in that rocky terrain where these big trees are shooting up out of the gorges, just towering, I'm in awe. You know, they rise above the canyon landscape. They're clinging to the side of the mountain, and they've been doing this for centuries. You know, that particular trailhead had a warning sign as we passed it. It said, watch for debris because of past fires. So even though there was still an abundance of trees, there was lots of foliage, the majority of those towering specimens actually are no longer living because many of them, although they're still standing, the fires damaged the trees and their bark beyond recovery. So as I walk past the most massive specimens, the ones with the burned out trunks, I wondered, you know, what must this have been before the fires? And even in the wondering and the grandeur and the beauty of it all, there's a little sadness that once these towering giants are now dead, and I can't help but look back and ponder what is lost. You know, a forest like that won't regrow in my lifetime or yours. It won't regrow in the lifetime of my grandkids, my great-grandkids, which, by the way, aren't born yet. But even now, there are some smaller trees in there. They're soaking up the light that's available because the old growth canopy is burned off. So the forest is preparing for a second advent. Next Sunday, the church begins a new season, and it comes with a threefold reminder to embrace what was, what is, and what is to come. It's called Advent. So in the earlier kids' message, we learned that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when we remember that he is the first and the last, then we're able to hold on to those essentials of faith, even though there may be uncertain times, there may be uncertainty. Maybe you are in one of those seasons right now. You might find the future unknown. You're not sure what comes next. You don't have maybe that peace that it seems like you need in order to navigate the current circumstances. And if that's you, I invite you today to embrace the truth that there is a constant in the ever-changing world. And that means that even though things are uncertain, even though they may be shifting around you, Jesus doesn't change. You know, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says of himself, he is the one who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. So leaning into this season of Advent that's coming, it can help you and I find our bearings and experience the hope and the peace and the joy, and even the love when things seem to be shifting. So where do you start? Where do we begin? This season in the church starts with the first Advent. It's a celebration that reminds us and grounds us in what was. So when you look back and embrace and celebrate the birth of Christ, you and I remember that he gave up his divine nature. He took on the nature of a humble human infant, and he had a singular purpose, and that was to live an obedient life and to die an obedient death, to save people like you and me from our sin. So the first Advent concluded in Christ's death and then his resurrection. And by faith, this brings your glorious redemption from the grip of sin and death. So Advent means the coming. In this season, you are first invited to embrace what was. You know, but like the forest, seasons come and go. If you're young, it seems like seasons are fresh and new. If you've been around a while, you know that life comes with changes and even loss, sometimes heartache and sorrow. You discover these are part of life. And if you are in the third stage of life, the last third, it may seem like your body is telling you every day that the best is in the rearview mirror. But is it? Is it really? Over time, the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons remind us that some of the familiar faces are missing around the table. And still, we celebrate the traditions that root us in who we are and where we come from. And it's normal in these seasons to look back with some sadness about what no longer is. And I think that's why, as a follower of Jesus, we need a reminder along the way that there is a second advent, a second coming to embrace. You know, the angel in Revelation 11 sounded the trumpet and announced, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of our Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." In other words, Jesus is coming back. So let me say that again for all of you who may need a reminder of what's next. Jesus is coming back. He's not finished. He's not done. He's not abandoned us to ourselves to wonder what the future holds. He's already made that very clear. Jesus is coming back. And just to be a witness to remind one another, turn to somebody and remind them Jesus is coming back. Go ahead, take a moment. If you're online, type that in the comments. Jesus is coming back. You know, that actually is good news. You are the cherished bride, the long-awaited bride that Jesus is returning for. And therefore, as you lean into this season, as you embrace both the first and the second coming, you will experience in it the one who is. He is with you now through the Holy Spirit, bringing with him this abundant supply of hope and joy and peace and love for you, but not just for you, to overflow through you to the world around you. In this season of both wonder and sadness, of gifts and loss, embrace the one who was, who is, and who is to come. The one who lasts beyond your lifetime. Friends, Advent is actually more than a season. I shared that during our anniversary trip to Portland, we were in a weather watch that was described as this bomb cyclone. I don't know where they come up with these names. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? Awful. It sounds dangerous. Maybe it is. I don't know. Serious enough to cause me to consider canceling our hikes as we had to go through a mountain pass with snow and to get to our destination. We decided that we would still go out on the first day. It didn't look so bad. The forecast was for atmospheric rivers. I have no idea what that is. You know, I would just rather have a blizzard in Minnesota than an atmospheric rivers. I mean, I had visions of, you know, this huge amounts of rain falling on these canyons that Cheryl and I were walking in and being like, "It's good to know you, Cheryl." But, you know, we went anyway. We left the city, and those rivers didn't arrive. If we had stayed put, we would have missed out on all that amazing experience. So I think that can be a challenge for our own spiritual walk. As Christ followers, we are conditioned, I think, to embrace the first Advent and Christmas and all of its celebrations. They easily remind us of what was with our traditions. And that's good, but we can get so caught up in the present, so caught up in enjoying the season, that on January 1st, it all seems just a distant memory, right? Christmas gets packed away in boxes till another year. Unless you're one of those holdouts that celebrates 12 days of Christmas after Christmas, or at least your tray stays up till the middle of January. You don't have to raise your hand. We know who you are, all right? What happens when you fail to embrace the second coming? Here's the warning. The second coming is what fuels those essentials of faith. It's your foundation for hope. That second coming is the source of enduring joy. It's your confidence in lasting peace. It's the second coming that assures us that love lasts. So embracing the first advent and neglecting the next is like receiving a big Christmas gift, but not opening it. The birth of Christ is definitely something to celebrate, but it's not the end. It's only the beginning. The best part of Advent is still ahead. So you're invited to experience all of the Alpha and the Omega and to know the beginning and the end. And you can receive not only the one who was, but who is and who is to come. And you do it by remembering, by embracing the next Advent, preparing for Jesus' return. You know, throughout the following 4 weeks after this Sunday, I'm going to explore with you what the prophets and Jesus said about his second coming. And as we do, I'm going to focus on how it will enable you to more deeply embrace and experience the gifts of your faith. Today, I want to focus on a vision of the last days. And it's what you might have heard called the end times. If someone asks me, what are the end times? Well, Daniel gives us a picture. It's the final advent given to the prophet Daniel over 2,500 years ago. Now, I thought it interesting to put this into a little perspective. 2,500 years seems like ancient times. The oldest trees in Oregon that we were walking around in, I learned, are about 800 years old. Some of the oldest living redwoods on the West Coast are actually about 2,500 years old. Those trees were beginning to grow at the time the prophet was seeing this prophecy, and those trees are still waiting. The Bible says all of creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children are. So what did Daniel see? Well, he wrote, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like wool." So God, he takes his seat front and center in the court of thrones. Have you ever seen a picture depicting God as a man with white hair and a white beard? You ever seen that? This is where it comes from, right out of the prophecy. He is called the Ancient of Days. And there's more. This is a judgment scene where the Antichrist and the rulers of nations are actually judged. This is it. The fire and the lightning around the throne, they describe the brilliant presence of the glory of God and all his splendor. And it also reveals the white-hot judgment upon sin and upon those who oppose God's authority. And there's one more piece to this vision that we don't want to miss, and that is that according to some interpretations, the numbers of angels are hundreds of millions of heavenly beings surrounding the throne. An incredibly huge number beyond imagination. It's a scene we can hardly see. A mega church on Easter would have just a minuscule comparison to this. So what's happening? The stage is set to bring justice to the wicked and unrepentant world powers that reject God and refuse to acknowledge his rule. So why does this matter? What's the point? Well, today the world is full of rebellion to God's sovereignty. There's corruption and evil and pain and misery on massive scales. You know, pride and powers oppose God's way. They reject God's divine rule. They reject his judgment. And we wonder, will it ever end? When will things get right? That's our hope. When will things be right? Well, this is when. On the second advent. This is the judgment day. And this is important for the follower of Jesus. This is not a day to fear. Rather, it is a day to rejoice. So as a believer in Jesus, this isn't something we fear, the second coming. It is a day of great joy and celebration. When God sets the world right by judging sin and rebellion, destroying unrepentant evil, then peace will reign under the sovereign rule of the kingdom of God. So it's coming. In the book of Revelation, John saw it in his vision, and he writes, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns.'" Hallelujah! Share that with me.
Hallelujah.
Let's do it again.
Hallelujah.
The Lord God Almighty reigns. What a joy. What a wonderful thing that we look forward to. So friends, the day is coming when you will be shouting with them. Hallelujah. So let's jump back to Daniel's vision. What is it about? What's about to take place here? This is something that the church is long awaiting. This is the advent to come. He writes, "In my vision, at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence." So this heavenly ruler, one who is like the Son of Man, this is the final ruler of the world. And he's not just a man, he's the Messiah. He's God incarnate. This is Jesus. Jesus is coming. So the one who Charles and Natalie confessed this morning in baptism as their Lord and Savior, he is coming on the clouds. You know, the one we believe in as a follower and leader, that he's our follower and leader, he is led into the presence of the Ancient of Days, the one who died for you so that you might reign with him. He is the one who will reign over nations. The prophet Daniel, he sees what happens next. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All the nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. In that day, there will be no one there will be no question of who rules the world. There will be no transitions of power. There will be no wars fought where innocents are killed, because the glorified Son of Man will reign in power and glory. Get this, forever and ever and ever and ever. The beginning A and the end B, the Alpha and the Omega. So how do we know this is Jesus? Well, that designation, one like the Son of Man, it's one that Jesus used over and over in identifying himself. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He was pointing to this revelation in Daniel, this scripture, when he spoke about himself. He said to the rulers and leaders, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," speaking of himself. And then he demonstrated the reality. And in Mark 13, he said, "At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." This revelation of Daniel. And in John, he says he saw him in Revelation. He said, "Look, he comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him." So Jesus has absolute authority and rule in the end times, in the second advent. And here's why. Because of what he did as God's Son. Do you know the story? He came to earth, born a human being who was both fully human and fully God. He lived a sinless life in obedience to the Father. And the prophet Isaiah writes, "He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." See, Jesus paid the price for your redemption. Isaiah the prophet says again, "But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the proof of that atoning work is revealed in the empty tomb. Jesus rose from the dead. In Acts 17, the apostle writes, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." His name is Jesus. And finally, Jesus ascended to heaven where he awaits the next advent. In Acts again, we read, "For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." What awaits you? You're under the divine rule of Christ. You will be restored to a loving relationship of obedience to the sovereign King who reigns and rules forever. You'll be forever secure in that relationship. I think when Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission, he would have had this second advent in mind. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. Therefore, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is coming back. Friends, Advent reminds us Jesus is coming back. Let me encourage you to lean into this season of Advent. Embrace the first and second coming of Christ. Experience the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Receive an abundant supply of the gifts he brings to you. Unwrap hope this season. Sing for joy. Celebrate peace. Live in love. And this Christmas season, let the world around you know that the best part of Advent is still to come. Get ready. Jesus is coming back. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your coming, the first Advent, for the season that we are entering into as we celebrate with lights and gifts and all kinds of festivities. Lord, it is truly something to celebrate. Your birth, that you humbled yourself to come, to be born in a manger, to live and die for us. Lord, help us to receive you as our Savior. Lord, help us to embrace in new ways what it means to live for the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And Lord, if there is anyone here today that does not know you in that way, that has not yet received you, or if you're online listening and you haven't put your trust and faith in the Messiah of the first Advent, then I invite you today to do so. If you want to know the hope and joy, the love and peace as the gifts that God brings to you through Christ, then simply tell him, "Jesus, I need you." Simply say, "I'm sorry for my sin. I know that you died for me. Please forgive me. And Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may worship you forever and ever. Amen." And if that is you today, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, online or with us, I invite you to write in the comment or talk to someone and tell them of what you have done. We would love to walk with you as you begin this new journey with Christ in this Advent season. And for each of the rest of us, help us to embrace. I invite you to embrace the Advent that is to come, to remember Jesus is coming, and live your life in all of its fullness as you await him.